Good morning. We want to welcome you to The Crossing. If you're visiting, thanks for coming. Our heart, our vision, our passion is to literally spread the love of Christ all across this world. To go wide, not to be big, but to go wide, that people can see and hear the message and the hope of Christ. It's to plant churches. The avenue that God called us is to plant churches. We've already planted a couple. We just have a few more in the pipeline, just believing God for what He has planned. It's all about making His name famous. But the mission to do that is by becoming disciples that makes disciples of Christ. When we see the Word of God, it's very clear. The Great Commandment tells us to love God with all our heart, mind, and our soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's becoming a disciple, connecting to Christ and connecting to the body of Christ and growing in a relationship with Him. But then moving beyond that and saying, guess what? He also tells us to do what? To go into all the world and make disciples, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey the commands of the Lord. And that's the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And that's partnering together and leading people on that journey. And that's what God's called us to do. I want to start a series with you over the next few weeks of something that God has begun to lay heavy on my heart. And when you think about in our life, all of us, we start off with life from an early age being taught to be self-sufficient. How to live and how to act, how to walk, you know. If you had kids, you know, I remember our first child, you know, you're like, everything you watched them, you're like, oh, move. Like when they would, remember when they begin to walk, you're like, oh, yay, this is so great. By your third child, you're like, stay still, don't move. You know, like, you don't even want the early age process. But you've seen this process. We want to teach them to be self-sufficient. You want to grow, you want to develop. But yet, in all that process, what often happens is we tend to rely upon our own strength instead of learning to lean on God. And so I want to talk about that over the next few weeks, of what it means to lean on the Lord. If God could speak into our lives, He'd literally say, to lean on me. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to start in Romans chapter 8 and also chapter 12. You can follow along today in the YouVersion app. If you'd like to click on the Bible app, you go to the events tab and you can see all the notes laid out for today. But I want to ask you this question. I want to start off with this question. What do you think about yourself? Do you maybe have, like this fellow, a misinterpretation? Or maybe you think opposite of that. What do you think about, when you think about yourself, what do you think? Everybody just do this for a moment. If you want to close your eyes, you can. But when you think of your life, what are the words that come to your mind? Maybe smart, intelligent, funny? Good looking? You like that? Or maybe it's opposite. Maybe you think you're dumb. Maybe you think you're fat. Maybe you think you're not good enough. What do you think about yourself? Do you see great things in your future or you see terrible things? Here's why I want you to think about this. Because there's a principle that lays out in our life that is true in so many levels. And it's this. You will become what you think you are. You will become what you think you are. So now go back. What do you think about yourself? In Romans chapter 8, we see the power of thoughts. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So maybe when you wake up, everybody has this, what we like to call an inner dialogue. You have I can talk within my mind. Anybody have conversations with yourself? They say, as long as you don't answer yourself out loud, you're okay, right? You know, but we have these thoughts where you're thinking and you're answering these questions in yourself and you're thinking and you're asking and answering all these questions that go upon you and you're trying to discuss. Maybe when you get up in the morning, what's the first dialogue you have in your mind? Is it, praise the Lord, a new day has begun. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have an opportunity to let my light shine for all the world to see. Thank you, Jesus. Is that what goes through your mind? Or maybe it's something like this. Dear God, was that the alarm? Where is the snooze button? If I don't have coffee this morning, I'm going to die. Jesus, I hope that person I work with that I hate is sick today, so I don't have to see their face. As a matter of fact, Lord, you could go ahead and just move them to another job and I would be happy. Okay, now, obviously I gave two very big extremes, right? You have from over exuberant to just, I mean, we're down in the dumps. But what you think about directly affects you. As a matter of fact, you have to understand that your life moves in the directions of your strongest thoughts. Your life will move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So if your mind is dominated by things that are negative, let me just help you today. This is not rocket science. You will move in a direction, in a trajectory that is negative. If your life is positive, you will move towards the things that are positive. This is why in Romans 8, he is trying to get through to you that when you think about sinful things, it is going to take you to a path of destruction. When you focus your thoughts on things of the Spirit, it will take you to a path of life. Because your thoughts, your life will move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So, are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you in? You get excited when you realize, hey, oh, wait a second. Some of you are like, oh, dear God, where am I headed? Right? Because if we're being very transparent and real today, we're probably somewhere in the middle, aren't we? We're not in the downest dumps. Some of you are like, man, that wasn't even bad. And we're probably not that excited about the morning. If you are, help us, because some of us aren't. A lot of us fall in that somewhere in the middle there. And yet, these thoughts literally are controlling your direction. So what are you thinking about? You see, in Romans chapter 12, Paul is telling us you have to have a change of thinking. Look at Romans 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How does he transform you? Let's say it. Changing the way you think. Okay, let's try that one more time. Let's say it. Changing the way you think. So let's get this straight. The way the Lord can transform you into a new person is by doing what? Changing the way you think. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? So what is Paul, what is he writing here? He is trying to get through to you that your thoughts have a very strong impact on your life because you will become what you think you are. So much about life isn't what happens to you, but it's how you respond to it. It's how you react. When you think about stress as a whole, stress isn't about all you have to do. It's about how you think about what you have to do. When you study stress, you can see Dr. Caroline Leaf. She has a great study on stress and how it directly impacts your health. How many of you have gone to the doctor and they say, well, you're looking for some great thing, and they say, it's stress. And you say, are you kidding me? I paid you how much to tell me it's stress? I know I'm stressed out. I want something to fix this problem. But yet stress in itself, and then they prescribe to you, you need to go golfing. Thank you, Jesus. That's doctor's orders, right? You need to go do something. But what are they trying to do? Stress itself isn't necessarily what's happening. It's how you are thinking about, dwelling about what's happening. Because that directly affects your direction. In health, in spirit, in body, mind, and soul, in all aspects of your life, it has a direct impact on you. You see, what you think and believe matters. So if you have an unhealthy perspective, if you have a doom, gloom, and despair thought process, guess what you feel like most of the time? Crud, don't you? Life's terrible. You know, I mean, it's just like, man, nothing goes right. No hope, gloom, doom, despair. But what happens if you live your life in the positive? You tend to see things in a different light, don't you? And it directly impacts who you are. Why? Because you become what you think you are. So, changing your thinking is tough, isn't it? I mean, this is one of those things you talk about, you preach about. You could say, yeah, you say that, buddy, and that's great. But living it, when you're the one in a problem, how many know it's a lot harder, isn't it? Oh, just a couple of us? When you're the one going through the pain, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, just change the way you think. But here's what I heard a while back. If you think you can or you can't, you're right. If you think you can or you can't, you're right. Because your thoughts, your words, they will directly impact. So if you think, yeah, I can do this, you're going to do it. If you think I can't do this, you're not going to do it. You're going to struggle all the way through it. Because it's a matter of your thoughts. They directly impact your direction. So, what if you're telling yourself lies? How do you think that affects you? I'm not talented enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. What if those are the lies that begin to affect you? Just how good do you think you'll feel about yourself, right? But here's the key. Those are lies. How do I know they're lies? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God knew you and had a purpose in your life. He had a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give good to you. God desires great things for you. But yet when you begin to believe the lies of the enemy that I am a bad person or I'm not good enough, guess what happens? You begin to live them out. And they begin to affect you in all aspects of your life. So if you think you can or can't, you're right. But if you begin lying to yourself, here's what you need to understand about lies. Who's the father of all lies? Satan. John 8:44 says he is the father, the deceiver of all lies. So let's get this straight. That means when you're sitting here bad-mouthing yourself, when you're sitting here saying, my past mistakes have put me in the situation I'm in, man, before you know it, you feel like junk, don't you? I mean, you feel like a loser with a capital L. You're like, what's wrong with me? But that's not coming from God, is it? That is from Satan, the father of all lies. So if you understand how this operates, what is a lie? Through the enemy, a lie is a stronghold on your life. It literally has the power to put you in a self-made prison where you constantly get beat up and feel trapped like you can never, ever get out. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it tells us, we are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, and we capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Now, you know what rebellion is? The Bible says rebellion is what? The sin of, anybody know it? Witchcraft. Ooh, that's big, isn't it? I love using that with my kids. Like, you want to get your kids' attention? So that's rebellion. You know what rebellion is? The sin of witchcraft. You're like, whoa, that's bad. That's bad. But rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Why? Because rebellion comes from who? Satan. And when you begin to understand this, the lies that you are telling yourself is a direct attack from the enemy. But guess what? It's put you in a self-made cage. You're bound in strongholds, and you don't know how you're going to get out. But yet, his word gives us, doesn't it? Because when we look at it, he says what in Romans 12? Don't copy the behaviors that comes from this world, but let God transform you by making you a new person by what? Changing the way you think. Now, when you've seen this before, but it's the trap of a monkey. How to trap a monkey. And what they do, I mean, I looked this up online. There's so many different pictures, but they will stick something in there, an object that the monkey wants, whether it's a banana, whether it's a nut or whatever. They'll put it in this pot. Sometimes they use coconuts. You can see, you can look it up. And what they'll do, they'll put it in there and they'll create a hole that's just big enough to get their hand in and pull out. But if they have a clenched fist, they can't get it out. And the irony behind it is they will always put their hand in there. They will stick it down in and they'll grab a hold of what they want. But they'll never let go of what they want to have freedom. And they can trap them. It's mind-boggling that you can sit there and have it just stuck. But because of their stubbornness and wanting it so bad, they'll hold on to what they can easily let go of and walk away, but they'll hold on and stay trapped because they're not willing to let go. Now, in our lives, how true is this? We will sit here and we'll beat ourselves up, and because we like wallowing in our sins and feeling pity for ourselves, what happens? We allow the enemy to place us in this cage and we're stuck and we don't know how to get out. When all we have to do is simply let go and allow God to help us. To let go, to change the way we think. So what negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? What negative thoughts have you captive as a prisoner in your own mind? What negative thoughts are beating you up today? Maybe it's as a parent. Man, I'm just not good enough. I don't spend enough time with my kids. Maybe it's as a cook. Man, I just can't cook. I can't do this. Maybe I can't clean. I can't provide like I need to provide. Whatever it may be, you have these thoughts that beat you down. And you begin to buy in them, you begin to believe them, and before you know it, they have you trapped. But then you need to ask yourself the antithesis. So if the enemy can trap me like this, what spiritual truths can I use to demolish the strongholds? How can I take captive those thoughts, the rebellious thoughts? How can I begin to change the way I think? Well, we just looked at in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, but we also see in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Against the enemy. So you recognize that your biggest opposition is not your spouse. I know that's a shocker for some of you. It's not your coworker. It's not your neighbor. It's not your friend. The biggest opposition you face is the enemy. And that is Satan, the father of all lies, who causes you to self-defeat yourself by thinking on the negative and traps you to where you have no ability to get free. But yet this scripture gives us very clear indication of how we are free, by changing, letting God transform us by changing the way we think. So how can he transform us? Through the greatest book ever written by God, inspired by God through man to us in the Word of God, the Bible. And when I begin to lay that as a groundwork in my life, it begins to set me free. It's why David said, "Thy word have I hidden my heart," in Psalms 19, what? That I might not sin against God. He said, "I'm going to hide your work in my heart so I won't sin, so I won't mess up." Why? Because I know there's temptations, I know there's problems, I know there's struggles of life, but I'm going to put your word on my heart. So what happens? Things begin to change inside of us. And all of a sudden, we begin to use the word of God. So put it like this. In other words, you have to change the way you think by changing and controlling your thoughts. So when you're worried, if worry is something you deal with, you don't just, "Well, man, I'm worried," and we think about how are we going to do it. You begin to take captive that thought and you begin to use scripture to overlay. Scripture tells me, "Be anxious about nothing, but what? In everything, in prayer and supplication, make my request known." In other words, if you're going to worry about it, don't pray about it. If I'm going to pray about it, don't worry about it. So now, instead of in worry, when I begin to worry every single day, not just when I worry, but every single day, I wake up and say, Lord, I'm not anxious about anything. Because I know that you are in control, and I'm going to make my request to you and put this in your hands, and I'm going to trust you, so I don't worry about this today. I'm going to start my day with that, because I know, how's the enemy going to attack you? Worry. Maybe it's fear. You're going to start your day, and you're going to say, you know what, Lord? You're not the one who gives me fear. You've given me power. And I have love, and I have peace. I have a sound mind because I know you are with me. So today I choose to exercise my faith and trust in you. And you take captive that thought. Maybe it's a lack of confidence, and you say, I just don't know. I'm not good enough. I'm never good enough. I mess up. Oh, you know, I want to be perfect. I never do things right. I'm going to start my day and say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so today, Lord, I stand on your word, and I claim that today I will be great. I will do great things for your glory. You see, you have to take captive the thoughts the enemy is going to beat you up with. Maybe he beats you up with this one. You know what? You're inconsistent with your time with the Lord. You don't really love God. You don't even pray. Your prayer time is minimal. Your prayer time is just a routine. You don't have connection with God. You can't even hear the voice of God. You don't even know where you're going in life. You don't know who God is. Then I'm going to wake up with that thought in my mind. I'm going to say, you know what? Your word says to seek first the kingdom of God. So I seek you first today, Lord. You said that if I dwell in the presence of you, that if I come, Lord, that you just he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. So I am going to abide. I'm going to rest. I'm going to find peace in your shadow today. You see, you have to say these words. Why? You have to say them so it becomes the inner dialogue. Your inner dialogue begins to shift. Because here's what we don't get. The enemy is constantly using your mind to whoop your tail, and he wins. We get these inner dialogues, and we're constantly just beating ourselves up, wondering how in the world we're going to make it, and the truth is we don't know how. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It's going to feel silly at first. You're going to be like, I don't even believe this. I don't even believe this. You know, I'm just saying this. I don't know that I can truly believe it. It's kind of like anything you learn to do for the first time. You think back when you rode a bike. If you ever rode a bike for the first time, you remember that? You know, you got the training wheels. You take the training wheels off. You keep going and you fall. Eventually, you get to where you begin to understand it. I was thinking back, you know, when you're typing. You remember typing? Now, some of us are still learning that, right? But, you know, you get there and it's like the hunt and peck method. You're like, F, J, you know, you're trying to find where these are. But eventually, what happens? If you just keep doing it, you'll find out, hey, I'm not near as bad about that. Nowadays, a lot of people type like this, right? That's how we type, with your thumbs. But hey, even then, at first it's clumsy. Before you know it, you become, it's just a second part of nature. The truth is, in your life, when you begin to start claiming these things over your life, it's going to feel the same way. Like, I don't even know if I believe that. But you've got to begin to say, no. The enemy's not going to beat me here. I'm going to take captive that thought. I'm going to lay the word of God on top of it. And what's going to happen? I'm going to declare this over my life. Because when you declare life, what comes? Life. Yeah, it's not hard, is it? When you declare life, life comes. So as we open this, you saw a video of a man who was crying out to God for a new perspective. But look what happens. Look what happens when you begin to change your perspective and claim the word of God over your life.
I am a part of his body. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have been given a spirit of power, love, and discipline. I choose to believe his dream. matter what happened. I trust in Him. I am who God meant me to be.
So here's what I want to do today. As you look at your life in closing, and you say, God, how does this apply to me? I want you to get your bulletin out, and you have on there a place for notes. I want you to list three things, or maybe you want to do it on your phone. What are three areas of your life the enemy's beating you up? And if you can only come up with one, that's fine. But I want everybody to do this. This is a participation, okay? Let's all together, if we're sleeping, this is a time to wake up. This is time to nudge your neighbor. Hey, get a shot right here. Grab your phone, grab a piece of paper, and write down at least one. I ask for three, but write down at least one. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's healing. Maybe the devil's telling you you're not going to be healed. God can't help you. Maybe it's depression. You are so deep, dark in depression, and the enemy is just whooping your tail. Whatever it is, write down one thing. And you say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, I can tell you what it is. It's what you think about all the time, okay? It's what kind of grabs that thought and takes your thought. Just, you feel like yourself beat yourself up. And I want you to write it down. And here's what I want you to do. We're going to pray. If it's worry, write down this website for me. I didn't put it on the screen, but it says, it's openbible.info. 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 And here's what it is. There's a topical search. So whatever your word was, if your word was worry, just type in worry. If it was fear, if it was healing, if it was provision, finances, depression, whatever your word is, write down openbible.info. You can, if you want to go to it now, look at it. So I'll do it with you. I'll put down one myself. Let's go. Open Bible. .info. I'm going to write it in. And you'll see it has a topical search. We'll put in worry since we've mentioned that. And so what you're going to see here is it lists 38 Bible verses. Philippians 4, 6, 7, the one we quoted. 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Philippians 4, 6. 1 John 4, 18. You see where I'm going with this? Now you use these scriptures and write this down in your heart and say, you know what? My God is going to help me. Whatever I'm facing today, I'm going to use the Word of God and I'm going to declare, you know what? Enough is enough. Because the enemy is defeated. Amen? Death could not hold him down. Now you have the opportunity to declare over your life great things. To declare over your life great things. That's what I want to do today. I want us to take that opportunity today. You're saying, okay, hey, here I am. I'm writing this down. No longer is the enemy going to beat me up in my mind. Today is a new day. And here's what we're going to do. Every day, I want you to claim this scripture. So you don't have to necessarily read the scripture verbatim. But you begin to claim it over your life. Well, we said, I'm not going to be anxious. But instead, I'm going to put my faith and trust in God. I'm not going to have fear because God's given me a power of love and a sound mind. You see, you begin to claim this over your life and you begin to speak the words out of your mouth. As you speak the words, what happens? Romans chapter 12 begins to happen. It says, God will transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. Now, here's what I know. If we're being honest in this place, including myself, all of us have words we could put down on these lists. And all of us battle in this inner dialogue in our mind. But today, if you want to stand with me and say, God, today I want to make a change. I want you to stand to your feet all across this room. Say, I'm going to change my dialogue. If you're enjoying me today, I'm going to change my dialogue. If I could have the worship team come, I want to end singing that song that we just sang. But I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And I'm going to change the way I think. Can you do that this morning? Just lift your hands to Him. Father God, I pray you see everybody here. Lord, we're being honest today. We're being transparent. There are moments, Lord, that we fail. We begin to beat ourselves up. We buy into the lies of the enemy. The lies that say I'm not good enough. The lies that say I'm too old. The lies that say I'm too young. The lies that say that there's no hope. The lies that say that I'm not going to make it. But Lord, I speak life today. And I speak life over our life, over all lives. Lord, I pray that we today as a body of believers can stand and say the enemy is defeated and death cannot hold us down. Lord, we're going to walk in victory. We're going to walk in faith. And we're going to put this into your hands. In the name of Jesus, release it now, God, over their lives. Let your spirit begin to pour now over them. Let them see, let them know that they are going to make it, that great things are coming. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.